see the fun. I see the fun. The Diary of Jack Kirkman Podcast.
Venture Highway in the sunshine, where the days are longer, the nights are stronger than moonshine. You're gonna go, I know. Blowing through your hair, and the days surround your daylight there. Seasons crying, no despair. Alligator lizards in the air.
I've never seen an alligator lizard in the air. Just to dispel the myth. Episode 51. I Seem Fun. The Diary of Jen Kirkman. 51. My podcast is in menopause up in here. It's also the 1 year anniversary. Ooh, shout out to myself. Shout out to a year. I've been doing this podcast for 1 year. Yeah, Jen, we get what a 1 year anniversary is. All right. Thanks, guys, for sticking with me for a year. Welcome to the new people. Well, I think I went back and listened to a little bit of the first one, but it's hard for me to listen to my voice because my voice is just so beautiful. I get mesmerized. And I said, it's just going to be me talking to myself. And it hasn't changed. But this has been very rewarding and very fun for me. It did exactly what I knew it would do because of what I've seen happen to my friends who have podcasts, but it brought new people in. It gave me another outlet to be creative that isn't necessarily stand-up. It's been so wonderful for me, and I really enjoy doing it. So I normally don't read compliments on the air, but as my 1 year anniversary, I'll read some nice emails I've received. And I think it'll make us all happy, right? We're all in this together. I think I'm the only lady monologue podcast. I'm not sure though. I could be wrong about that. But, I'm proud of this little podcast. There's nothing to be proud of, but I like what I've done so far, and I don't like some of it, and we'll keep working on it. Anyway, this is from Alexandra. Hi, Jen. I love your podcast. I spend a lot of time in my car driving around New England. Ooh, what's up, New England? For my dissertation research, I can't imagine having to make long drives without your company in my car. Oh, that's nice. You, in real life, you would hate me in your car because I'm a backseat driver. And I'm always like, oof. And I put my feet up on the dashboard because I'm like terrified of other people driving. So this is the best way to have me in your car. She continues. Yesterday, I ended up giving someone a ride during the workday. And when we got in my car, the audio system picked up with your podcast right where I had left off in the morning. My passenger asked what I was listening to. And I said, oh, a podcast by Jen Kirkman. She's a comedian and she talks about her life every week. And my passenger said, oh, yeah, she wrote that book about not wanting to have babies. That's really nice. I find it hard to believe she just recognized my name from that. And she cranked the volume up on the podcast. Oh, my God, it's like I'm Freebird or something. Turn it up. Last week's episode ended, and the Live in Austin episode started, and my new friend started singing along to Easy Like Sunday Morning with You. It was a great ride, and I was so glad to introduce someone to your podcast who immediately loved it. Thanks a million. I almost don't believe you. It's too perfect of a story. But thank you, and thank your friend. That makes me very happy. I would like to give a shout out to, oh, what's his name here? Oh, shit, I'm sorry. Someone sent me the Aunt Jenny episode of the Brady Bunch. You know who you are. Shout out. Woo-hoo. A few episodes ago, I talked about how I feel like I'm Aunt Jenny. And then another listener, Lloyd Dobler, shout out. Woo-hoo. Reminded me that the episode was not about the eccentric aunt who traveled, even though that's what she was. It originally started because Jan thought that Aunt Jenny was ugly, and everyone said that Aunt Jenny used to look just like Jan when she was younger, so Jan was afraid of growing up to be ugly. And then you see Aunt Jenny, she's perfectly fine looking. They just put some crazy blue eyeshadow on her. And also, Lloyd Dobler, thank you. There's a website, fuckyeahjenkirkman.tumblr, I'm saying it right. And Lloyd runs it, and I am not affiliated with it in the sense that I'm not telling anyone to make a website dedicated to me. It is very kind that it exists, but it has some really good walks down memory lane of different things, and it's got the most comprehensive list of every podcast I've ever been on. So definitely check out that website. I don't mean that in a conceited way. Okay, but I do thank you for running that website because it's very sweet. Hey, as long as I'm doing shout outs, to Ralph and Katie in Nashville, you guys were going to make me moonshine. Oh, weird. There was moonshine in the lyrics to Ventura Highway. By the way, that was the band America, which, by the way, how many of you thought, like I did until last week, how many of you thought that this song, hold, please don't make me watch a 5-second clip, YouTube. Ugh, it's amazing what YouTube has found and added ads to. Okay. How many of you thought this song, Horse with No Name? Everyone thinks that's Neil Young, right? It's the band America. It's totally not Neil Young. I really thought it was. The thing with America is I think it's one of those bands where 19 different people sing, so every song kind of sounds different, almost like the Eagles. But I said that to my friend the other day because I mentioned a song by America. And he's like, they sing more songs than you think they do that you know. And he's like Horse with No Name. I'm like, that's not Neil Young. And he's like, oh my God, blasphemy. No. He's certainly not trying to not sound like Neil Young here, though. Anyway. Shout out to Ralph and Katie. They came to my show at Nashville Zanies and brought me... they couldn't bring moonshine, and thank you, I probably wouldn't have been able to take that with me on a plane, but they brought me some orange tea, which I'm not drinking right now. I'm actually drinking a coffee because I'm recording this in the daytime, but I have my orange tea, and I have drank it, sipped it, whatever it's called, boiled it. So thank you. That was very sweet of you. See, that's what I mean. This podcast, who would know to bring me tea unless this podcast? I don't have a stand-up bit where I'm like, I drink tea sometimes at night. I know you're like, you should write that bit. It sounds hilarious. So that would put you in the pantheon of the greats, like Pryor. Thank you. Hey, you know what I want to say, too? This is going to be kind of a disjointed podcast. What a great anniversary podcast. It's not even like, there's like no theme and no fanfare, but that's how I do. Not planned out at all. But I'm sick of people saying, you know, Lenny Bruce wasn't funny, but I know his place in history. I feel like that's almost a like cliche thing. He actually was pretty funny. He had some bits that were funny. He had a lot of babbling. So I get it. I know it's not like, but he did have a lot of normal bits. He had a really funny bit about how prejudiced we are towards Southern people. And if Einstein had been from the South, like, I'm Albert Einstein. It's a funny bit. But I was just looking at that the other day, and it really is amazing. Like I was thinking about this weekend because I'm recording this on the weekend that Arkansas. Well, I mean, it's not for right now. You can get a marriage license in Arkansas, same sex marriage equality. Good for you, Arkansas. And You know, and then the Michael Sam, is that his name? The football player that's gay. Oh, I love that he's black and has a white boyfriend too. Oh, what a bad day for homophobia and racists, huh? Woo, you guys lost this weekend, big time. But I like to sit around thinking of homophobics and racists just getting so angry in their house, but not so angry that they go out and hurt anybody, but just so angry that they have a change of heart because they can't hold the anger any longer. So they're just like, rah, rah, oh. But I was thinking about Lenny Bruce and how I was listening to a bit that he does about divorce and how he was seeing a lot of women that, what was very interesting, he has this bit about divorce where he talks about people feeling bad for him, which is so funny that, like, because I have a similar bit and so does Louis C.K. And this is, what, his bit was like late 60s, it must have been, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000. So almost 50 years ago. And we still haven't really caught up to not being weird to divorce people. It's certainly more common getting divorced, but I don't know, the reactions are still the same. But he has this really funny bit about, since he's divorced and in his 30s, he dates other women in their 30s and 40s who are also divorced, but they have a 7-year-old kid. And I was just laughing like, oh, Lenny, didn't you know? In the future, when you're divorced and 40, you got a 20-year-old girlfriend. But he did this funny bit about, like, not being able to go to her place, so they get a motel, and he comes up with this whole script when he's sitting in the car. You're like, okay, this is my sister, and we just got bad news that our uncle died, and she's so overwhelmed that I had to pull into the motel, and I'm going to have to sleep with her. Like, it just, you know, that's the joke that he didn't need to add that part in. Anyway, but I was listening to it, and then I started watching scenes from the movie Lenny, which if you haven't seen it, it's incredible. Dustin Hoffman completely transforms himself into Lenny Bruce. It's really spot on. And Bob Fosse directed it. And it's just a very cool movie. But we kind of gloss over like, yeah, he helped free speech. But he really did. I mean, I don't know exactly the through line of how, what changed because of him or after him. But he certainly was arrested for this one bit he did where he was reading a newspaper article on stage, and the article was about how in the South, these two teachers who were homosexual with each other, they were a gay couple, were arrested or something like that for, you know, just living their life 15 miles away from the school. It's not like they, and again, not that anything would be wrong with it, but the whole point of his bit was they were teachers, and then when they went home at night, they had a gay relationship. And so in his joke, he said, it's not like the kids went to school, and they're like, Mom, at 3 o'clock we had math, and then at 4 o'clock we got a lesson in cocksucking. Like, that was his joke. And he got arrested for that, like, handcuffed outside the club and taken to jail. And the police were saying to him, you know, are you proud of yourself for saying that word? If you said that word in front of my wife and kids, I'd punch you in the face. So that's pretty wild to me that he actually made a very intelligent joke that was way ahead of its time and was arrested just for saying a swear. And it's interesting how much freedom of speech comedians do have on stage today. Obviously, no one's going to get arrested. I mean, that's what the real people, when they get mad about these rape joke scandals, I think people forget that freedom of speech implies you have the freedom to say anything you want, but everyone else has the freedom to react to it using their freedom of speech. So if you do rape jokes, nobody is telling you not to. What some people are saying is, let's explore the culture of why you even need to joke about it. Like, there's so much to joke about. Like, what's your point of view? Like, why? Why do you need to talk about this violent act towards women when half the audience is women and maybe, you know, a quarter of them have been raped and they're sitting there trying to enjoy a night out and then you say that word? I mean, we're not saying don't, but you use your freedom of speech and now here's my freedom of speech back at you. When people start getting all crazy, don't come down on comics with rape jokes, freedom of speech. Yeah, no shit, freedom of speech. No one's arresting anybody anymore. The only time freedom of speech is interrupted is if the police come get you. And nobody's done that. So everybody calm down about when there's a comedian controversy on either side. Yeah, free speech. Nobody's being told by the government to shut up. So anyway, I just think it's pretty amazing that you could just arrest someone for that when it was already in the Constitution that we had free speech. So, but now it's amazing how the speech is so free that everyone is just saying terrible things on stage that's not even funny or making a point. But God bless. I would hate to, you know, whatever. Why did I get into that? Oh, because I was talking about the South. And then I was talking about Lenny Bruce's joke from the South. Okay, that's how I got here. I was like, what am I talking about? Okay, so let's read. Let's read another compliment. Somebody from Australia wrote me a really cool story a while ago about I Seem Funners looking out for each other in Australia, but I can't find it now. What a jerk I am. Gee, Jen, you really put a lot of thought into this 50th episode. I can see you've come a long way and you're really treating this, you know, you're really treating this very seriously. Beat up, ba da 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 da. Oh, okay. All right. I guess I can't. I guess I can't find one. I've got a lot of emails here, and usually I Okay, here. Here's one. Okay. This girl, she didn't give me permission to say her name, so I'll just call her Z. She said, hi, first and foremost, I love your podcast. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you that having your voice in my head all day is really getting me through some rough days. I just got my first real job in book publishing, and though I used to be an editor, right now I'm making ebooks, which I guess is cool in the big picture, but quite tedious and technical to actually do. I've had a lot of weird jobs in the past that were probably way more fitting for me. For example, in college, I engraved portraits into tombstones, and before this, I worked for an 87-year-old man who would show up to the office no more than a few hours every week, usually just to take naps. And this is the first 9-to-5 getting up every day at 6 kind of job I've had. It's still pretty depressing, especially since my goal is to be on the other side of it, getting published. On top of that, I have to commute to the suburbs 2 to 3 hours every day, depending on the weather. This doesn't leave a lot of free time, but I'm doing everything I can to still keep writing, which is what I should be doing all the time, but unfortunately there's almost no money in it until you write a dystopian young adult novel with a strong female lead that will translate well into movies, which I could probably do, but I have no interest in it. Instead of relaxing after my long day and long drive home like most people, I come home and work out and write. I relate, girl. And even though it's what I know I need to do, it can get very tiring, and I often forget that my job is only a means to an end, not the end. So it really helps to hear about your life and struggles and all your odd jobs and how you got to where you are. I can't stand anyone I work with, so it almost feels like there's a friendly face nearby talking to me about things I like and can totally relate to. I was also a weird kid that liked punk rock and was literally obsessed with Kurt Cobain, though he had already been dead for almost a decade when I was in high school. All right, you bitch! And even though you only think you might have talked to him on the phone that one time, I love that story. And it totally sounds like you did talk to him. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Anyway, because I know you get nervous when people don't buy tickets in advance, and my husband is a touring musician and also hates it, I already bought tickets for your show at the Hideout. Oh, cool. This will actually be the first time I ever go to a stand-up show at all, but I am definitely looking forward to it. I had other things to say, but I don't want to bore you to death. Thanks for being cool and sharing it with people like me. Oh my God, girl, it's not a stand-up show. It's a live I Seem Fun podcast taping, so you will still have never been to a stand-up show. And that's, hey, this was a seamless plug. I Seem Funners in Chicago, I'm going to be at the Hideout Saturday, June 7th at 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. Tickets are only $15, and they're available now online, jenkirkman.com, under tour dates. And I'm going to be recording a live I Seem Fun at 7 and another one at 10, both completely different. So you can come to both. And I'll also be signing things after and selling I Seem Fun t-shirts. And those are $20 each cash. Cash only right now. I'm sorry, I'm not set up for credit cards. So I hope you guys come. It's going to be really fun. I usually do, you know, it'll be over an hour show each one. And I don't have any opening act or anything. So it's really, really fun. And The Hideout is a really cool, like, steeped in music history place. Why are you performing there? You're not a musician. I don't know. I like to do stuff like that sometimes, though. Well, I think those two emails summarized everything I set out to do with this podcast. And I'm really happy that anyone likes it. As someone who used to sit in a cubicle listening to podcasts all day, I know how it can be your sanity. And I don't say used to, like, I've moved on, losers. I just can't listen to them because I have a writing job that involves talking to other people all day long. But if I could, I would. I do still sit at a desk all day long. Not for long. Not for long. Pretty soon, it's going to be some freedom up in this bitch. I'll just be touring full-time this fall. I will be just a comic. Venture Highway.
In the sunshine, where the days are longer, the nights are stronger than moonshine. You're gonna go, I know.
Around your day, da, da, da. Why did you know the lyrics 5 minutes ago, Jen? I don't know. So I got some funny stories about you. What? I have some funny stories for you. Some real fucking characters I met in my travels. I feel like we've had a good break from my travelogues. I haven't given them in a couple episodes. I saved some of the ones from Nashville for you guys, or North Carolina and Nashville. But first, as long as we're here, I do this podcast for free. I actually pay to do it. I am not complaining. I am happy to do it. I pay someone to help me with it. I pay the fees on the web. And, you know, I supplement my income. I supplement it with charging you to see me live when I play I Seem Fun Live and the t-shirts. Which I do have I Seem Fun t-shirts. There's men and women's. You have your choice of one that says I Seem Fun, or the other one says Everyone's Fun is Different. I am not set up to sell them online yet. That will be happening soon, within the next month. I have a company I'm working with. I just have to get them the t-shirts, which telling me to go drive somewhere and drop something off is like saying, go to the moon. I'm like, that seems like a lot. So, but it's going to happen. And then I'm going to make another I Seem Fun t-shirt that's just going to say, fuck the haters. But it's going to be F asterisk, 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 because I don't want to put no dirty. I don't want you guys getting arrested like Lenny Bruce out there. I don't want any swear words. That one will be in production and maybe available by the summertime. So anyway, but more importantly, y'all, this is a great way for you to find out where I'm performing. That's right. You can fast forward through this part or enjoy the fun. JenKirkman.com tour dates is where you'll see where I'm coming. And if you're on my email list, well, then you'll get an email from me every week. But if you don't and you just want to sit back and kick it, I bring you plugs for live shows set to the tune of Too Legit to Quit. Oh, wait, let's start over. Wait, hang on. Stop. Ugh. No! I bring you, Jen Kirkman plugs her gigs to the tune of Too Legit to Quit. Yeah.
Too legit!
Here we go. Friday, June 6th, 8 p.m., Fitzgerald Theater, St. Paul, Minnesota. I will be taping a live episode of the public radio show Wits with myself, and Bob Mould, legendary musician. This is not stand-up. This is something beyond. It's sketch, music, comedy. Come see it. Tickets on sale now. JenKirkman.com. I already told you about The Hideout, so I won't repeat it. But you know what that is, June 7th. Tuesday, June 10th, Los Angeles. I'm headlining my own show at Largo. 300-seat theater. I'm going to get you all in there. The very wonderful and my personal comedy hero, Joan Rivers, will be introducing me and doing some comedy herself, and we'll have a little chat on stage. Come to that. Friday, June... Oh, tickets on JenKirkman.com or Largo/LA, Largo-LA.com. Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th, 10 p.m. and 8 p.m. Why'd I do it backwards? Who cares? There is no time. Comedy Mix Vancouver. Tickets on sale now. Friday, August 1st, 8 and 10:30 p.m., just one show at the Palm Beach Improv in Florida. Tickets are on sale now. JenKirkman.com/tour dates. Saturday, August 2nd, 7 and 9 p.m., New Movement Theater in New Orleans. That's right, it's a post-Hurricane Katrina world filled with laughter. Get tickets now, JenKirkman.com. Well, technically, there's still a lot of damage there. I know, shut up. Will I quit doing comedy? You know the answer. All right. Well, I can't turn this off. I can't stop it. I can't stop the music. Woo! All right. Now listen, though, people. Listen to me. There's some things I just want you to know about. But tickets aren't on sale yet. But I want you to get excited. I want you to save the date, if you will. But I can't get each one of your addresses and send you one of those cards, those save the dates that people send out. Jimmy and Poopy are getting married this year. Okay, just tell me when you get married. Save the paper. Why are there sparkles in this now? It's all over my fucking couch. But I'm going to tell you where I'm coming, where tickets aren't on sale yet, but you're going to be like, oh my God, how fun. But Too Legit to Quit doesn't fit that. You need something more ominous, like, I'm coming, everybody. Metallica. I know this Tom Likas also uses this as his theme song, but I'm using it as Jen Kirkman tells you where she's coming, but tickets aren't on sale yet. All right, everybody. Ireland. Ireland. Dublin. The Drunk Bucks. July 24th through 27th, I'm in the Comedy Carnival, some kind of festival there. I don't know what it is yet. I don't even know where I'm going. I'm just going to show up at the airport with a passport. So I think I'm going to Dublin. Did someone book a flight for me? Where am I sitting? I can't believe I looked at the flight and it's 10 hours. I went, oh good, only 10 hours. That's how good I am at flying around the world now. Try to stop me. I'll go anywhere. I'm already talking about going back to Australia. That's right. Can't get rid of me down there. All right. Friday, September 12th and Saturday, September 13th. The Venetian, Las Vegas. Co-headlining with Natasha Leggero. I think the show is called Lipstick or something. Don't hold that against me. Friday, September 25th and Saturday, September 26th at the Acme Comedy Club in Minneapolis. I think that's four shows. Saturday, October 25th, Halifax, Nova Scotia. There's going to be more coming, you guys. I told my agent, book me into weird places that I never go. Yeah, that's what I like to do in the winter. Fly right into the snowstorm. All right. That's happening. Well, that was abrupt. I wanted to fade out. But I'm not a professional. Boop, 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 boop. Ah, damn it. There's also an I Seem Fun Facebook page. So I was thinking of starting like a message board for I Seem Fun, but then I realized that's a lot of work. Oh my God, Too Legit to Quit won't stop playing. It's too legit to quit playing. But there's an I Seem Fun Facebook page. So on this page, you can go and comment and write to other people or write to me. I tried to set it up so that every, you know, episode has its own little square. So that's facebook.com/iseemfun, no spaces, no capitals or anything like that. And, on there, I'll use it, like, if I talk about something in an episode, that's where I'll go post a picture and stuff like that. How's that? Okay, folks, so join that. That's good. We're all happy there. Beep, bop, boop, bop, 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 bop. Dates on sale. Okay, yeah, I did that. Okay, cool. Shout out to my friend Troy Conrad. Ooh, ooh. He says he listens with his wife. Troy is awesome. If you guys have ever heard of the show Set List, that comes from his fucked up brain, where comedians get on stage without a net, basically, no set. And there's a screen on the stage, and you have to read it and act like you know it. That, you know, it'll say something weird like chicken bones, and you have to do an improvised routine about it. And it's one of the greatest shows, and it's become like a worldwide phenom, and it's wonderful. So I think there's a lot of them on YouTube. They're like professionally shot, and it looks really good. So if you go to YouTube and watch Set List, I did one of them recently that's on YouTube. Maybe I'll put, that's a good example of something to put on the Facebook I Seem Fun page. There you go, Jen. I'll put that on the I Seem Fun Facebook page, my thing on Set List. Okay. So let's take it back a few weeks, a month. Now, you know my cross to bear on this earth is small talk and how all I do is get into car services or cabs when I get off airplanes, as most people do. And I'm usually confronted with small talk that won't end. Even after, my friends say to me, Jen, you must be engaging them. You must be doing something. And it's true. I have weak walls. I can get into a car and at 5 a.m. after a red eye, and they can say, how are you? And I can go, I'm so sorry. I'm good. I'm just like so tired. I'm just going to go to sleep. And they'll go, okay. And then they'll start talking and I'll give like a one word answer, but it's so mean. Like I can't just be quiet if someone says something to me. And I would never say don't talk. And it's not a situation of like, I don't talk to someone who drives a car. That's not what I mean. I just mean, usually I just don't feel like talking in those moments. Like, at 5 a.m., who wants to talk to anybody, you know? So, but I get into a cab in North Carolina. And I get in and the guy goes, are you here for a fashion show? And I go, no, because I was wearing a dress, but it wasn't like a ball gown. It was like, you know, like a paisley dress, long sleeve, above the knee, just like no shape to it, just like you toss it on. I thought it'd be great for a flight, really comfortable. And I had kind of like, I'll admit they were fun, some fun sandals. But it was not fashionable. I guess, you know, compared to someone who's wearing sweatpants on an airplane, sure. But if I'm on a flight that's going to land in the morning, I try to look like I'm ready for the morning, right? So I get off the plane. I'd taken a red eye, and I get off. Kid picks me up. A kid. I mean, I don't know how old he is. Probably 30. But he's like, are you here for a fashion show? I go, and he goes, oh, well, you look like you should be. You look like you're in fashion. And I'm like, that's the greatest compliment in the world. Thank you. It really is. I'd rather a guy say that. Now, what's so funny is one time when I was in Melbourne, hello, Australia, by the way, I hear from you guys so much. It's unbelievable. It's great. Thank you. Thanks to everyone down there who's found my podcast. So I was at a bar my first night in Australia when I had nothing to do before my show started. I don't mean an hour before my show started. I mean, I was there like 2 days early before my series of shows I had to do started. And I was sitting at the bar. And, you know, of course, I had a fun put-together outfit on. And the bartender said, are you here for Fashion Week? And I said, no, is there a Fashion Week? And he goes, oh, no, I don't know. I thought there might be because you looked like, I could tell you were, you know, American from your accent, but I thought maybe that was why you're here. And I told someone that, and they were like, that's so awesome. He thought you were a model. I'm like, no, he didn't think I was a model. He thought I was like some fashion lady, like, you know, that sits at shows and watches things and decides if she's going to put it in her shop or not. That's what I'm thinking they mean. They don't mean, come on. We know what models look like. They're like 10 feet tall. So that's what I thought. That's what I think these compliments are, is that I just look like someone, like if someone mistook me for Anna Wintour, I'd be so happy. I'd be so happy. So anyway, I said no, but I thank you for saying that. I should have just said yes, but he, thank God, didn't keep going down the rabbit hole of like, well, what do you do for a living? He was busy. Like, I don't know if he worked for a cab company that actually has a garage or a dispatch station, because he would pick up the phone. And for first, some of the phone calls he answered, he would say, oh, hey, Dave, what's up? Yeah, no, I think tomorrow we're going to, I think later I'll be at a, yeah, we'll go watch the game later. And then he'd be quiet. And then his phone would ring, he'd go, blanket cab. I mean, that's not what it was called, but I've just looked at a blanket. Blanket cab. Yeah, where are you? Okay, I can get there in 15 minutes. Let me just get, I'll get either myself or someone else will be there in 15 minutes. Yeah. But I'm like, he's not even writing the address down. Thank God he's not, because he's driving on the freeway at the same time. But I was like, is he just like a one-man cab operation, like where he's pretending? You know how if you work from home and you've got your business card, but you pretend you have an office, but no one knows? It was like he's doing that, but it seems hard to do with a cab. You're the only person that also answers the phone and drives everywhere. So then he starts saying to me, so where are you from? And I said, L.A. And he goes, I love L.A. He goes, I love it there. And he's like, I've only been there once for like 6 hours, but I loved it. And I was like, oh, what did you do? And he's like, I was passing through, driving cross country, something. And so this is his LA story. He's like, yeah, so, you know, I just got there around six and I ended up partying with some people that ran an art gallery. And, you know, we just did a ton of drugs like shrooms and I got drunk and then I smoked a little pot. He's like, then I got on the road and went, I was like, oh my God. So this guy who drives a car for a living told this story of this amazing experience he had in LA, but isn't aware enough. Like, of course it was amazing. You were high the whole time. Not that that necessarily makes things amazing, but he said he could never figure out what was so special about it. But it's like, well, maybe because you were on shrooms and then you drove while the sun was coming up. Like, that sounds like, you know, you could do that anywhere and it would probably seem amazing. But because you were in LA, that's why you now love LA. So I just was kind of uncomfortable with the fact that someone driving a car for a living, one of the first stories they wanted to tell me about themselves is how they will put drugs and alcohol in their body and then drive a car. And I said, wait, you got in your car all messed up and started to drive cross country? He's like, well, no, I'd done the drugs like earlier in the night. I was like, all right. So he said he was kind of, maybe he had some residual, you know, tripping effect. And then the sun was going down and he just thought, it's such a beautiful desert. It's a really, really nice place. He's not wrong. But he just kept talking. And I was like, maybe I should do my own web show. Like, maybe I need to just embrace this and do comedians in cabs getting talked to. Because that's a ripoff of Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. So then on the way to the airport, I get in this cab. And I literally just wanted to, when it pulled up to the hotel, I wanted to just get out and be like, oh, shit, I must have been sleepwalking again. I packed an entire suitcase and told the front desk to hail me a cab, and they put it in the trunk, and here I am in the back seat. I just woke up. I'm supposed to be in town for another week. I'm sorry, ma'am. You know, I really wish I'd done that, but this woman turned around, no teeth. Not bad teeth. No teeth. A few teeth. Let's a few teeth. Two bottom canines. And a couple on top. no rhyme or reason to which, but she's like, hi. And I was like, oh, man. And she's, I mean, either she's on something or she's nuts, but she just started right in. She goes, you're my last ride today. I'm going to go home and see my kids. I go, great. That sounds good. It's a nice, nice feeling of the day free. See, that's already is probably too much talking. But I can't ignore someone with no teeth who just, she's like, yeah, I miss them. My ex-husband, you know, he hasn't paid child support. She goes, well, I have three ex-husbands, but he hasn't paid child support. And she's like, and I really can't afford not to work this afternoon, but I have to take my daughter to go to play her softball game. But, you know, her uniform's dirty, but I don't know. I tried to get the stain out as best I could. And, you know, my second ex-husband, well, none of the kids are his, but he loves them a lot. Like, we're still good friends, but I don't think it's right if he sees them because they don't really know him as a father. But this other guy, and then, you know what? And I knew he was cheating on me. And so then I said, he said he wanted to get back together. And I said, you made your decision because you were cheating on me. And then, but then my sister was like, you should have taken him back because you don't have any money. But he doesn't have any money either. But, and I was like, oh my God, it's just on and on. And then she does the classic thing that people who are describing a shit show to me. She goes, do you have kids? And I said, no. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. And I said, no, that's fine. That's fine. And she said, well, you're young. You have plenty of time because I do look young compared. She probably was like 20, but she looked 100. And I said, yeah, I'm at that age where it's not going to happen. And I don't want it to, so it's okay. And she said, well, I think everyone should try it once. Well, it's not pot. It's having a child. Oh, by the way, that reminded me. There was a really great email someone sent, and I want to read it. But yeah, so she's like, so then she just kept harassing me about the no kids thing. She's like, was it that you never wanted them or you never met someone? I mean, once you get married, I go, I've been married. I go, listen, I don't want kids. And she goes, oh, my kids, I don't know what I would do without them. And I'm thinking, you'd probably have teeth if you didn't have kids. You'd probably have enough money to get some teeth. Oh, who is this person? Okay. I won't say your name. Let's just call her Amanda. She writes, dear sweet baby Jesus and his stepdad Joseph, I'm a C-plus mom that wishes I read your book before I had kids. Don't get me wrong. Insert cliche statement about loving my kids and not being able to imagine my life without them here. I love my life, but I think I have adapted but was not built for motherhood. I would have made a really badass aunt. My sister has decided that having kids is most likely not for her, and she isn't even aware that this book exists. So naturally, after I read the book, I would like to pass it on to her. Oh, man. See? No one fucking says shit like that. No one admits it. This woman admitted it. Adapted to, but not built for motherhood. That's kind of how I feel about relationships. I adapt, but I don't think I'm built for them, romantic ones. But everybody has to bullshit everybody else about stuff. So this woman, Amanda, that wrote me, the opposite of Amanda are people who go, why don't you want them? And won't stop talking. That's what I think. I've now decided it's people who are very curious. Anyway, so this woman wouldn't stop. And then, but she keeps looking back at me. And we're on like a 4-lane freeway. And so every time she looks back, the car swerves and other cars are like, burr. And she's just like, anyway, I went to softball and it burr. And I'm like, I said, you know, I'm going to, at this point, there was no not talking. And if I didn't answer her, she would have kept looking back to see if I was there. So I had to now lean forward into the front of the cab and say, you don't have to look back at me when you chat. I know you have a lot going on with the driving and all, like trying to say you can't drive for shit. And most people just look up into the rearview mirror to catch an eyeball glance. But now I was just like, you know what, Jen? Just like everything else in life that's a challenge, go headlong into it. The more you try to resist the talking to people, just talk. Just keep talking. So So I talked until I bored her to death. When she said her cheating husband, I said, oh, I just making up shit. I'm like, oh, I had a friend whose husband cheated. You won't even believe this. I was like, she came home and he was with the babysitter. And she's like, what? And she's like, how did that even happen? And then I didn't understand it either because I made it up. And I said, oh, well, she went out to run some errands and she would get a babysitter for the afternoon. And then while the father was at work, and then he must have come home on his lunch hour. He must have been having this affair. And she was like, that's disgusting. And she was so disgusted by my friend's husband, who I made up completely, that she was like shocked into silence. And she was like, I hate the thought of that going on with a child in the house. And I was like, I know. And she just kind of spaced out and looked away. Stop talking to me. So maybe you just have to say shocking, weird shit to people to get them to shut up. So then I'm at the airport and, oh wait, I forgot about the pilot. Oh my God. We have so much to do right now. Shit. I can't find this guy. Remember I said I was going to have Ask a Pilot. I was going to have an official pilot of the I Seem Fun podcast. Well, I do. And he sent me an email with answers to your questions. And now I can't find his email because I forget his name. I know we were calling him Mr. C, but that's obviously not his name. Oh, what a stupid bitch I am. All right, well, I'm going to keep looking for it. I might even really have to, like, pause the podcast. I think I might have to do that because I can't keep you guys on the line here like that, right? Oh, you know what? I could go to my sent mail. That might be easier to find him. What do you think of that, you guys? What do you think of that? Still can't find it. What the shit, you guys? Oh, fuck. Okay. All right. Hang on. I'm going to have to stop this and start again. Yeah, we're back. We're back. I found the email. We have an I Seem Fun official pilot who's going to answer your questions about flying. How fun is this? Sorry it took me so long, Mr. C. He said I could use his real name, but I don't want to, just in case. I'm real concerned with the law.
Time keeps on slipping. Into the future.
Jen, did you just go take shrooms that cab driver gave you in the break? No. I just got into a rabbit hole of songs that had the word fly in them. And I decided this would be the best one to do for our pilot friend. Let my spirit carry me. Okay, Jen. Okay, so I was going to tell you a quick story about something that happened to me at TSA, but I'll do them. So we have a pilot here, Mr. C. He said, hey, Jen, I'm already loving being the podcast pilot. Anyway, here's the Q&As. Sorry if these answers are a little long. Adam had asked, planes are heavier than air? Mr. C, the pilot, very sarcastic already, I like him, said, Adam, yes, they sure are, and boats are heavier than water. Physics is crazy. Tyler asked, have you seen anything you can't explain in the sky, a UFO? Mr. C, the I Seem Fun pilot, said, unfortunately, no, but I wish I have. I do love hearing stories about UFOs and possible alien encounters. There are many stories out there of pilots who have seen things they can't explain. For example, Japan Airlines Flight 1628 in 1986 was flying over Alaska when they reported seeing three separate UFOs, which remains a mystery to this day. Ah, typical answer, Mr. C. I don't know. I hope there is. You know. You all know. I found this answer pretty crazy. Did I explain what this is again? Did I do a good job? There's a pilot that listens to this podcast, and he made himself known, so I decided that he's the official pilot of I Seem Fun, and we're going to ask him questions. Okay, right. Okay. Sorry. Alex said, do you listen to a podcast while flying? If so, whose? And he said, yes, I listen to lots of podcasts while flying. Plenty of pilots do. That's insane to me that pilots are just listening to podcasts in the cockpit. I personally love listening to all sorts of comedy podcasts, such as I Seem Fun, Comedy Bang Bang, How Did This Get Made, and Call Chelsea Peretti, just to name a few. That is so great. God, if I got recognized by a pilot for my podcast, I would freak out. And he wouldn't be able to get me out of the cockpit. I'd be like, show me how this works. Show me how that works. Leisha. Oh, this is... I know I'm saying your name wrong. Sorry, girl. Do mobile phones really mess with a plane's navigational equipment? Short answer, no, they do not. You can call and text even at altitude. Longer answer, anyone you ask will give you a different reason as to why this myth came about. Some people say it's just an airline's ploy to keep your attention during takeoffs and landings, times you should be most alert. I've been told it's not good to use cell phones at altitude because then your cell phone is contacting many cell towers instead of just a few, which could clog up the system. But overall, your plane isn't going to get lost because someone was texting their friend. That said, don't be a rule breaker on airline flights, and don't be that guy who takes a phone call in an airplane. No, that's horrible. I hope we never allow, ever. Okay, so Mr. C. These two questions are from Victoria. You can answer them at iseemfun@gmail.com when you get a chance. And everyone else, you can send anything you want to send me to iseemfun@gmail.com and I can put it in a show if you just want to tell me about yourself or whatever. So Victoria says, do you judge other people's flying like people do when they're not driving? And secondly, what the fuck happens when a plane gets hit with lightning? Do pilots freak out too, or is that just the passengers? All right, cool. You can answer those next time. If anyone else has any questions, just email iseemfun@gmail.com. Or you can tweet the I Seem Fun podcast account, which is I Seem Fun Podcast, at I Seem Fun Podcast on Twitter. Okay. Oh, so my point, so then when I'm flying to North Carolina, I was wearing like some nice cream pants, but they're like they had a stretchy waist, but they were kind of designery, and a white long sleeve button down shirt. Or no, maybe this wasn't to North Carolina. I forget where I was flying to. Because, right, I wore the dress to North Carolina. And then I had these brown boots on that are very comfy. And they have, like, a silver toe, you know, kind of ass-kicking buckle at the top. And my fun white coat. I'm going through airport security, and there's a guy next to me in, like, an identical outfit. Except he had a black cowboy hat on, but he had a cream-colored head-to-toe, like, three-piece kind of, not suit, like a proper suit, but like three-piece outfit, like jacket, shirt, and pants. And it was a totally fly outfit. And he was like a thin kind of David Bowie-esque guy. Not in the face, though. He had long black hair that was in two braids. I didn't like that. I wouldn't, like, say I would never go out with someone with long hair, but I just didn't like his hair. And this TSA woman was like, you guys are the cutest couple. And I'm like, oh, I don't know him. And he's like, yeah, I've never met her. She goes, you guys aren't traveling together. You just happen to get in line in your cream outfits and stand next to each other. She's like, oh, my God. So, like, we were both going through the, you know, detector thing. And she's like, well, you should introduce each other. And we're both just standing there. And he just goes right over to the, thing to retrieve his luggage after it went through x-ray. And he just walks away. I mean, thank God I was not interested, but, and she goes, you should go after him. I go, I should run down the airport after a guy in a pigtails in a cream outfit who just blatantly showed no interest in me. I'm not even interested in him. She goes, you don't think that's weird. She goes, I'm freaking out over here. It's like, he's your soulmate. I go, because we have the same pants? And she goes, yeah. And I said, you know what? Dumber things have happened. Sometimes it is just comes down to you like the same pants, you know? Plenty of my exes and I had big, big, deep things in common. And then it came down to things we couldn't even pick a movie to go see together because we just had none of the same tastes. And my outfits would embarrass them and stuff. So you're right. You're right, TSA agent. Maybe it's all about a guy in cream pants, but I'm on my celibacy, so I'm not thinking about that right now. But in the future, who knows? Anyway, I just love when fun stuff like that happens. That kind of conversation, I don't mind. I said on one of the earlier episodes of this podcast, oh, look, I'm bringing it back to a theme of anniversary, that I don't like small talk, I like big talk. So if you're going to engage in conversation with a stranger, don't be like, how's the weather? What do you do for a living? Say weird shit to them. Like, I think your soulmate is standing next to you and you should run after them because they have cream pants on. Like, that's, like, what a great way to spend 5 minutes on planet Earth talking to a stranger. It delights me to no end. Well, I guess that's it for now. Oh, you know, someone asked me some advice, and maybe we'll close it out with this because it's a good way to round out the excellent relationship I have with you guys. And I don't normally like to give advice because I don't know, but it might tie in with a story I have. Hi, Jen. I just started listening to your podcast over the last couple of months. Don't worry, I started at the beginning. Oh my God, am I that much of a control freak that even he knows this? I've been thinking a lot about what you said about being nervous before going on stage to being not nervous at all. I'm a professional cellist, and I've been doing the whole audition circuit thing this year with mixed results. I haven't yet won any orchestra positions that are worth a damn, meaning salary and benefits, but I do have many jobs in smaller regional orchestras. Anyway, I was wondering if you had any advice to share about how you tap into the performer that you know you're capable of being when it matters. I have been finding that lately as I get older and feel more pressure to win a real job so that I can better support my family, I've been having an increasingly difficult time showing up and playing at or near my best in the audition setting. Thanks for reading. Well, I think that's just the point is you said, you know, how do you show up to be the performer that you want to be when it matters? And I think that just analyzing your words here, if I'm going to play psychiatrist, you're adding so much importance to these auditions when technically, if an alien came down from Earth and they knew what a cellist was, they would see you at an audition. They would see a video footage of you at an audition. They would see you playing alone in your home. They would see you playing with the orchestra of your dream. And it would all look the same to them because you're not doing anything different. So I feel like it's not about validating that these moments matter more. It's not about validating that there's all this pressure. You know, you will... Yes, okay, you have to support your family. That need and that reality already exists, so you don't have to think about it anymore. Yes, there are jobs that pay better than others, so that reality already exists. You don't have to think about it anymore. The only thing you have to do is not think and play and bring the love to it. And I don't know if you're spiritual or religious, but I pray all the time, and I don't even believe in God proper. Like, I think there's something up there? I don't care is my answer. So sometimes before I go on stage, I will say a prayer because thinking never gets me out of my own way, but talking to maybe it's my higher self, but I'll say whatever made me show up in this earth wanting to do this very specific thing for you, it's cello, for me, it's comedy, whatever made me show up and want to do this, come through me right now. I'm a vessel for my talent to come through me. I'm not in my way. It's just, you have to go there with it. You cannot think, I've got to get better at thinking a high pressured situation is high pressure and not responding to it. Like, you're thinking about it all wrong, I think. The other thing is that Malcolm Gladwell thing of 10,000 hours of practice. Like, I'm sure you're good enough to get into these big orchestras, but you're probably going to have to suffer through many more auditions just as the time builds up and, you know, like it's almost like auditioning is its own horrible thing and you have to get good at it. And the way to get good at it is to really get to the point where you just don't give a fuck anymore. You're not getting up on stage thinking, I really need this or whatever. It's just like, you just don't care anymore because you've done it so many times that you're just like, oh, whatever. You know, I mean, because I've mentioned on this show before that a lot of times part of being a comedian is there'll be these festivals that can sort of make or break. So they can take you to the next level. It doesn't hurt you to not get in them. But before you get into the festival, what they do is some scout from the festival will come see you do comedy. Now, and they already know who you are. They already know your comedy and that you're good. So they're coming to see you because they've already seen you and they know you're good. Yet for some reason, that doesn't count for anything. They have to see you again at a showcase that they've set up at an awkward time, at an awkward location, at a place that's not even full where nobody's even laughing. Instead of just saying, hey, when's the next time you're performing? I'll come see you and see what it's really like to see you. There's a manufactured situation going on and it's awful. And I had never nailed it. I auditioned for this festival, the Montreal Comedy Festival, 11 times in a row, and I never made it to what they call their new faces. It got to the point of such absurdity that every comedian, even starting out after me, was getting in it. And eventually, one day, the guy that runs the festival, and it changes hands like every few years, but this one guy was like, oh my God, why do we keep making her going into these manufactured auditions? We know she's good. Like, he was like, he called my manager and said, I'm so sorry. And, you know, I've been doing the festival every year. So I don't know. I don't know if something like that would happen to you. It might. I will tell a quick story that might be kind of interesting, but I don't know if you guys know this. Everyone always asks me, why don't you do Last Comic Standing? I auditioned for it 8 years ago, or seven or six. But it was in, God, it might have been longer ago. It was in 2006, I think, or 2007. And I was already on a TV show called Acceptable TV on VH1. It was only went for like eight episodes, but I was filming every day. And I was on the road occasionally as the opening act for Greg Barron. So as far as career goes, things were on their way. They were going pretty good. And then I got contacted by the producer of Last Comic Standing. She called my home. Or my cell phone, I don't know, and said, I found a way to reach you directly. Don't want this to go through your manager. I want to talk to you directly. She's like, we're going to do this whole new, you know, version of the show where it's not going to be a bunch of comedians living in a house. And we really want you to be part of it. And we want more women and we want more, you know, at the time I was considered alternative. I don't know what that means. We want more of that. And she said, look, of course the show's a little bit fixed, so we're going to pass you to the next level. I can't, but since it really is like a competition and it's not totally fixed, I can't promise that you'll win or get like in the last round, but you'll at least get enough episodes where you're competing that more people will know you and that'll be good. I was like, great. You've convinced me. It was a long conversation about just how much she gets me and whatever. So, in other words, she was saying, you have to do the first round audition that they film because once I get to the next round, which she kind of guaranteed, they have to have footage of me doing it. I can't just like show up in the second episode. So she said, you just have to go to the Improv, which is a comedy club, and do your 4 minutes for the judges. And then, you know, we're off and running. I'm like, great. So I'm all stressed out. I mean, I already have a job at this point. I'm all stressed out. Can I get the morning off of filming? Blah, blah. I get the morning off. Now, morning, I'm going to do stand-up at 10 a.m. at the Improv. There's no audience. It's just the judges. I get there, and this comic, Ant, I don't know if you know Ant. I never knew him, and I still don't, so I only know him based on this, and I'm not impressed. Let's just say that. So I'm waiting to go into the showroom. And I'm standing outside the bathroom and Ant walks by and walks into the bathroom and there's a few of us standing there and he goes, good luck, you guys. And it was like, oh, it made me feel good. Oh, that's nice. Once the showroom doors open, the most surreal thing is to see all the lights fixated on the three judges in front of you who all have makeup on and there's cameras on you. And you're like, this is as much about them as it is about me. I got to the microphone and talk about bizarre circumstances. It wasn't even a normal, I'd never seen a microphone like this in my life. It was clipped onto the stand in a very awkward way so that I had to, you know, usually when you perform at a club, the person ahead of you that passes off the mic to you puts the mic in your hand, or they lower the stand for a shorter person and everything is set up to your liking. So I get on stage and I can't get the mic out of the stand, and it's completely rigged to like add this extra moment of awkwardness that looks stupid. So I get it out and I do my first joke, and it's a joke I think that's still like in the middle of my act somewhere. It's like about not having kids or something. And they don't laugh, and they're staring at me. The three judges are staring at me. One of them was Alonzo Bowden, who I've never met before, and randomly I did meet him for the first time as a real person. We did a show together a few weeks ago, and I didn't mention this, and he would never have remembered. He wasn't awful to me, but he was playing the part of the judge. And it was Kathleen Madigan, who I've heard great things about. I'd never met her. I still have never met her, but those three were the judges, and they were awful to me. So I started to say a joke. And then Ann goes, stop, stop. And then Kathleen had her hand in the air. And so I didn't know what was happening, because I didn't know if Ann was yelling, stop, like, stop your act, or like, stop the cameras, or like, you know, cut, I need more makeup. Or I didn't know what was happening. So I was like, what? And then Kathleen had her hand in the air. And I said, do you have a question? And she goes, yeah. And I go, oh. And Alonzo goes, get off the stage. And I said, I just like couldn't hear them. So it was like almost like a blessing that I said, what did you say? And then he said, get off the stage. That's when I understood him. And Ant goes, you're awful. You're awful. And I'm sorry, but I think Ant is awful. So I said, oh, and I was kind of laughing. I go, but I didn't even finish. And I wasn't sure what was happening because I was guaranteed to get through this round. And Kathleen goes, what made you keep going after Ant yelled stop? And I said, because I couldn't really hear him or understand what he was saying. And I said, you had your hand in the air. And she goes, what did you think I was like testifying, like raising the roof? I said, kind of, because I know you're a woman without kids too. So yeah, I thought you were into it. And she's like, no, those jokes aren't even funny. And I was like, well, they work on the road, which I'm currently on, which is what you go on this show to get. So, okay. And then I just was like, no, I'm not going to play this game. So I just started laughing and skipping, and I skipped out. And the producers came running after me for me to sign off. And I was like, no fucking way. And that woman who called me was not there. So I called her and I was like, what the shit was that? And she's like, oh my God, I didn't know that was going to happen. I'm so sorry. I'm like, I don't believe you. If you fucking use that footage, I will sue you. I mean, I just went crazy. She's like, we'll never show it. We'll never show it. And I was like, I'll never fucking do this show again. And I will tell everyone not to do it. This is a fucking joke. And so, I said, they didn't even let me get through my material, and I had three people who I don't even, you know telling me it's not funny. So that was that, and I would never, ever, if it's worked out for some people, that's awesome, but I would never dignify that show as even existing. I never ended up even telling people that story because I never even wanted to admit that I'd been suckered. So that's the first and only time I've told it, I think, but, so that's a really extraordinary circumstance of an audition, and but we can always be convinced that things matter and this and that. You know, your job on this earth is to be that musician that you are, and you don't get to decide when you get the full paying job with benefits. It's coming, but you won't know when, so why don't you just have fun? I mean, if you can try to have fun. I'm assuming you're not a banker for a reason. I'm assuming this is fun for you, so just don't validate all the pressure you've built in yourself. That's all I would say. All right. Oh, and learn how to play the cello. I'm kidding. What if the guy literally didn't know how to play? He's like, how do I get better? That's not funny. Okay. Are we done? Is this good? Gee, this was a real humdinger of a anniversary episode. I mean, I don't even have a cake for myself, or I don't even have an anniversary type song. But I feel like it's the perfect way to celebrate a year. It's just as random as when it started. Here's to another year. Here's to more live shows. Here's to everyone who downloads in weird, random places. And thanks to everyone for being part of this. And I guess that's it. Should we go out on a fun song together? What's a good I Seem Fun song? Oh, I know. I know what it is. I just heard this song the other day, and I was reminded of how many times he sings the word fun. New York Dolls, Looking for a Kiss. Wait. Bon, now I can't remember the lyric. Hang on. I'm going to find the part where he's talking about having fun. I think it's at the beginning. Yeah, I think it is. Oh, yeah, it's coming along. All right, so this is I Seem Fun, episode 51, 1 year anniversary. And this is going to be our motto. But you know, can't be wasting time because I got to have my fun. I got to get some fun. I got to keep on moving. Can't stop till it's all done. And never done. All right, you guys, till next week. Have fun.